Today is a joyous day for all of those doing Daf Yomi, as it is the day in which the concluding Daf of Maseches Chulin is being learned, being studied. Maseches Chulin is one of the longest Masechtos, one of the longest tractates, and the concluding Daf, or concluding page, is 142, which means that there's a total of 141 pages in the tractate, since in the Masechta, since there is no page Aleph, of course. It follows only Bava Batra with 173 pages, and Shabbos is 155 pages in Lin. And thus, it took 3 months of study in the Daf Yomi program, more than 3 months, in order to complete it. It's quite an accomplishment for all those that have gone through the entire Masechta from beginning to end, learning through page by page, day after day, following the Daf Yomi cycle, and really get the feeling that one is accomplishing and one is learning through the Talmud when he sees himself reaching the end of a large Masechta like Chulin. And that's part of the challenge of the Daf Yomi program, whereby people so much appreciate and so much feel accomplished by studying according to the Daf Yomi system. In any case, I chose to speak today instead of a topic that's local, that's limited to the discussion of the page of Gemara, of the Daf of Gemara, to discuss the general subject, the general topic of Siyum, making a celebration upon the completion of the Masechta. It's customary to make a celebration, usually with a joint meal, sometimes just a l'chaim, but more often a meal that people eat together, where people might at the very least bring in cake and drinks, and most go out to an expensive restaurant to celebrate together the completion of a Masechta, of a full Masechta, a full tractate. When one learns, it makes no difference how long the Masechta is, whether it's a short one or whether it's a long one, a celebration is made. Of course, for a long one, when they take the restaurant option, whereas for the shorter one, when they take a less expensive option, because the joy at finishing a long Masechta is, of course, much more than at finishing a Masechta that's only 30 pages. The celebration is not just a private celebration for the person who finishes it, but it's a celebration for all who learn Torah to join into. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos 118 that when Abaya, one of the great Amoraim, announced that when one of the members of his school would finish a Masechta, Abaya says, I would make a party for the Rabbanan, for the members of the school. It's clear that the Yamshel Shlomo in Bava Kamma proves from this Gemara that the celebration of a Siyum is not just for the one who made the Siyum himself, who completed the Masechta, but rather it is for all those involved, for the entire yeshiva, all those who learned Torah to celebrate together. Abaya didn't complete the Masechta, one of the students did. And yet Abaya made a party, and it says that he made a party for the Rabbanan, for the members of the school, not just for the one who completed the Masechta. And it wasn't just that Abaya wanted the person who completed to celebrate, but he wanted everyone to celebrate together with him. First of all, in order to increase the celebration, the simcha of the one who finished, by celebrating together with others. But second of all, it's because the joy is for everyone who is completing, for everyone who is learning Torah, to celebrate along with the person who finished. Since now that this person has completed another Masechta, he will be able to participate to a greater extent in the exchange between the students when they're trying to clarify an halacha. And thereby, through him, every person in the school will be able to learn to study and to understand the depth of the Gemara to a greater extent. That's how I understand why it's a celebration for the entire yeshiva when one member finishes and the Sechta. The Yamsha Shlomo and others point out that Rashi says Abaye made this celebration because he was the Rosh Yeshiva. Does this denote that it is only for the Rosh Yeshiva to celebrate along with the one that completed, but not for everybody else to celebrate? Rosh Yeshiva meaning the dean, the head of the school. And the answer is that the conclusion of the Achronim and the Poskim is no, it is for everybody to celebrate. Abaye made a party for everybody in the school, and therefore it's clear that everyone else is also celebrating. When Rashi says that Abaye was the one that made the party, why does he mention that it was Abaye, the Rosh Yeshiva? Why does Rashi mention that Abaye was the Rosh Yeshiva and therefore he made the party? Perhaps because he was explaining why Abaye took the responsibility to make the parties for the yeshiva, since he was the Rosh Yeshiva. However, the celebration would have been made even if he hadn't paid for the suda and arranged to see that more people should celebrate. The Yamsha Shlomo points out that there might be another reason why the Gemara has to make it clear that it is Abaye who made this celebration more than anyone else. Why did it point to that Abaye was the one who initiated the celebration? Because we find in another Gemara that Abaye suffered from terrible stomach problems and it was hard for him to eat. The Gemara is saying that even though Abaye suffered from stomach problems, nevertheless, he made a point of making a seuda mitzvah, a meal to celebrate the Siyam Masechta for the yeshiva, and he participated in that despite the fact that it was hard for him to eat more than usual. This is the reason maybe why it was Abaye. The Gemara points out that it was Abaye specifically who made these parties. The Vilna Gaon, there's also make mention of such an idea. The Vilna Gaon says that there's a remez, a hint, an allusion to this point in the word Siyam. We see from the word Siyam itself that it is not just the person who made the Siyam that celebrates, that everyone around him celebrates along with him. The letters of the word Siyam, Samach Yud Vav Mem, are unique in the fact that when one spells out the name of the letter using the Hebrew alphabet, for instance, Samach is spelled Samach, Mem, Kaf. Yud is spelled Yud, Vav, Dalet. Vav is Vav, Vav. And Mem is Mem, Mem. When one spells them out, then the part of the name of the letter which represents the letter itself, in the case of the word Samach, the first letter, Samach, is the letter itself, and in fact in all the letters, the first letter that spells out the name of the letter is the letter itself. Samach is the first letter in the word Samach Mem Kaf. That is equal to the hidden part of the letter, the hidden part of the letter, in other words, the part of the letter that is spelled out that is not written. When one is writing the letter Samach, one just writes normally the Samach itself. When one spells out the word Samach, he spells Samach Mem Kaf. In this case, the Samach itself of the word Samach is also the letter as it is written. The Mem Kaf is the hidden part of the word, in other words, the part of the word Samach which is not actually written when one writes the letter Samach. This, says the Vilna Gaon, is the revealed part of the Samach and the hidden part of the Samach. And in the case of Samach, the revealed part and the hidden part have an equal numerical value. Every Hebrew letter has a numerical value. Samach equals 60. And Mem Chaf, which are the latter part of the word Samach, also add up to 60. Same with Yud. The letter Yud has an numerical value of 10. And the letter Vav Dalet, which completes the word Yud, have a numerical value of 10. Same with Vav. The letter Vav is 6. And the word Vav is completed with another Vav with the same numerical value. Mem also. The word Mem is comprised of two Mems. Mem, the letter Mem, and then another Mem, which again shows that the hidden part and the revealed part are equal. This Zevum LeGaon is meant to represent the fact that the hidden and the exposed, meaning the people who actually learned the Gemara and made the Siyum, and the people who participate in the celebration of the Siyum, but were not evident at the time the Masechta was being studied, they just participate when it comes to the celebration of the Siyum, the reward is equal for the celebration of the Siyum. The one who learned and made the Siyum is rewarded for celebrating, and those who did not actually learn but just came to celebrate, the hidden ones who are supporting in this sense and encouraging the person who learned to complete the Masechta, encouraging him by showing, now that you completed, we are joyous and we are going to celebrate with you, the reward is of the one that did learn and the one that didn't learn is equal, and they both are rewarded for celebrating the completion of the Masechta. A very interesting way of looking at the letters that start the word Siyum. Again, this is showing the point that the celebration is not just for the person who made the Siyum itself, but for all those to celebrate with him. So, that's one important point to a Siyum, which also has halachic implications. Also has halachic implications. The halachic ramifications bring us to another point that is important to discuss regarding the Seuda Tassim, the celebration of the Tassim. There is such a a category of meals according to an halachic category of meals according to Chazal, which is referred to as the Udat Mitzvah. Some Tanaim were praised for only eating from Seudas Mitzvah and never eating from Seudas HaRashus, meaning that it is a Midas Chasidus, it is a high measure of the God-fearingness to only eat from a celebration of the performance of a Mitzvah, a Seudas Mitzvah, rather than a normal Seudah, which is called the Seudas HaRashus. Siyum is categorized as a Seudas Mitzvah, the celebration of a Siyum. It's considered a Seudas Mitzvah, and this is worked out already in the early postgim. The celebration of a Siyum is considered a Seudas Mitzvah for all those who are participating in the Siyum. Not just for the one that completed the Masechta, but all those that are eating along with him are eating from a Seudas Mitzvah. This is the application. The application of this particular nomenclature comes with regard to a number of halachos besides the midas chasidus of eating only from Seudas HaRashus. For example, there are times when it is only permitted to eat in a Seudas Mitzvah. If a person, during the 9 days which are coming up in the beginning of Av, the minhag, certainly among the Ashkenazi Jews, is not to eat meat or drink wine during the entire 9 days. And the Sephardi Jews, it's during the week, Shavuot, Shechal, Bo, Tisha B'Av. One does not eat meat or drink wine unless there's a Seudas Mitzvah, unless there is a circumcision celebration, a pidyon haben, or another Seudas Mitzvah. One type of Seudas Mitzvah, which qualifies, is a Siyum Masechta. When one makes a Siyum for a Masechta, then, for finishing Masechta, then he is permitted to eat meat during the 9 days. Similarly, by Tainus Bechayim. Tainus Bechayim is the Tainus that is customary for a Bechor, whether it's a man or a woman, to fast on Erev Pesach. To remember the fact that Hashem saved all the Bechayim of the Jews while killing all the Bechayim of the Egyptians. In order to feel worthy of being saved, the Bechayim fast. The Bechayim are accustomed to fasting on Erev Pesach. However, it is customary among, and certainly the Ashkenazi Jews, I think even the Sephardim also now, they to make a Seuda Siyam immediately after davening, after praying in the morning of Erev Pesach, for the Bechor to eat and celebrate in celebration of the completion of Masechta. A person, whether it be the Bechor himself or another person who completed the Masechta, makes a Siyam and celebrates and brings food, of course not Chometz, you don't want to dirty the shul with Chometz on Erev Pesach, so he brings some food to celebrate, maybe Shiva Saminim, and the Bechor eats, partakes from that Seuda, after which he's permitted to eat since he's no longer fasting. There are other ramifications to the fact that the Seuda V'Siyam is a Seuda Mitzvah. For example, a person who is in Avelos, who is in mourning because one of his parents passed away within the last 12 months, is not permitted to eat at a celebration, such as a wedding, or something to that effect. He's not permitted to eat at a Seudas Merayim, at a celebrative, a festive meal that is made by his friends. He's not permitted to participate because he's supposed to maintain a measure of mourning even after 30 days after the passing of his parents for an entire 12 months. However, the Poskim side of Yerushalmi that tells us it is permitted for him to partake of a Seudas Mitzvah. Now, a wedding, of course, also is a Seudas Mitzvah. However, a wedding involves dancing, involves excessive simcha, therefore a Avol is not permitted to participate in that type of a meal. Rather, he would participate by being a waiter or something like that. In any case, for a Seudas Siyam, a Seudas Siyam Masechta, a person who is an Avol over the last, a person who is an Avol is permitted to participate. Is permitted to participate. Just, I see someone's looking for our translation online of the Gemara. Take a look at all our links in Daf Yomi Central, which is in dafyomi.co.il. Click over there on the button for Daf Yomi Central, you find all the Talmud-related links that you could possibly find on the web, including translations, if there are any. In any case, back to our subject at hand, the Seudas Siyam Masechta is considered a Seudas Mitzvah, and therefore the Poskim say a person who is in mourning for the passing of one of his parents during the last 12 months is permitted to partake of such a Seuda. All these are rather applications that are not very that are in a sense secondary. It is true that a Seudas Mitzvah is different from a Seudas Rishut, and there are ramifications, but all the ramifications we mentioned are based on custom at best, and Issud Rabbanan, but in truth these are all questions of customs or of Midas Chassidus. And an interesting exchange took place which is quoted in the Tshuva's Torah Lishma. Tshuva's Torah Lishma, Siman Tafrei Beis, 482, describes a situation in which a wealthy supporter of the yeshiva in Baghdad made a meal and invited Talmidei Chachamim, the yeshiva. And during the meal, the Talmidei Chachamim, of course, delves into the depths of a difficult halachic subject that they were studying at the time, which perhaps related to Issur HaHefer and even to Chai Benisa, the questions of life and death, of punishment, of death penalty. And they're discussing this at length and in a vigorous discussion. While at the same time, the Baal HaBayis is talking with the people next to him, and the Baal HaBayis is making a Seuda for a Siyam Masechta. And he talked to the people next to him and said, wouldn't you consider this a Seudas Mitzvah? I said, yes, certainly, and they started bringing proofs back and forth as to whether it's a Seudas Mitzvah when one makes a celebration for the completion of Masechta. This was going on for a while, and the Baal HaBayis, the one that made the Seudah, noticed that the Talmidei Chachamim on the other side were having this lively discussion of their own at the same time. He turned to them and he said, why don't you participate in our discussion? You're discussing Torah and we're not discussing Torah. You're discussing your sugya, that's true. You're discussing what you were studying in the yeshiva. But I'm discussing also a Torah subject. Is a Seudas Masechta considered to be a Seudas Mitzvah? Why don't you join in and bring us proofs and tell us about what you think about the subject? Well, they sat there a few seconds, and then one of the Talmidei Chachamim, one of the scholars, piped up and said, it might be true that you're discussing a matter, a subject of Torah. However, our discussion is a subject that discusses Issa, the Heter, that pertains to what is permitted, what's not permitted, even to death penalties, and to important halachos. What you're discussing, whether the Siyum Masechta is considered to be a Seudas Mitzvah, that's just a question of minhag, or a question of midat chasidus, acting in a very especially God-fearing manner, eating from what's considered a Seudas Mitzvah, but not from what's considered a Seudas Rishus. It's not a question of life and death. It's not a question of Issa v'Heter. It's not on the same level as the discussion that we're having. And that is why we are not participating in your discussion. Your discussion might also be Torah, but it's not the same type of Torah that we're discussing. Well, the Baal HaBayis had nothing to say to answer that, and it was rather an embarrassing situation for him. And because he was put off by this, he still he was upset at it. He was upset at the way that he was overridden, so to speak. So he went to the Rosh Yeshiva and told him, Rebbe, I know that there must be something wrong with what those scholars said. I'm willing to give a large donation to the yeshiva if you could explain to me why the discussion that I was having of whether a Seudas Masechta is or is not considered a Seudas Mitzvah, that can you show me why that is also a matter of Issa v'Heter, of true Torah prohibitions, or true Torah prohibitions, or even a matter of life and death. If you can prove to me that our discussion is also a discussion of notes, then I'll be glad to give a major donation to the yeshiva. So the yeshiva wrote in its tshuvas, in the Torah Lishma, I'll explain to you that there are at least two reasons why the question of whether a Seudas Masechta is a Seudas Mitzvah is an important discussion of Issa v'Heter. First of all, the obvious way that we can apply the question to a matter of Issa v'Heter is if a person goes and is mekadesh a woman, a person weds a woman on the condition that she eats today, she partakes today from a Seudas Mitzvah. So if you partake today from a Seudas Mitzvah, then I want you to be my wife. And he gives her a ring, makes a kedushin. Now, obviously, if she's his wife, then someone that lives with her afterwards, someone that marries her afterwards, will be subject to the death penalty. Therefore, if she eats that day from a Seudas Masechta, the question of whether a Seudas Masechta is or is not a Seudas Mitzvah will pertain to the death penalty. So there you have it, the question of whether it's a Seudas Mitzvah is an important question after all. Second of all, and a little bit more to the point, the Torah Lishma adds that there's another reason why the question of whether it's a Seudas Mitzvah pertains to the death penalty. We have our halacha that a ben sorer umore is to be stoned. A ben sorer umore is a person that rebels against his parents by stealing from them money and purchasing with it meat and wine and eating it gluttonously. When the child does something like that, then after the Gemara tells us the exact procedure of how the son is first warned and he's whipped, and then if he repeats it, then he can be brought to court and can be killed. it might not ever have happened. The Gemara discusses whether there ever was a Saramara or not, but certainly these are halachos that pertain to the death penalty, and that are discussed in the Torah and are discussed in the Gemara in many pages. Now, the Gemara goes on and says, it depends how the child eats this meat and wine. If he eats it gluttonously, he can become a Ben Saramara and be put to death. But if he eats it even gluttonously during a Seudas Mitzvah, then he will not be put to death. For example, the Gemara says, if he eats it during a Seudas Rosh Chodesh, you make a celebration for the coming of the new month, then he will not be put to death, even though he stole from his parents and he ate wine and meat gluttonously, because he's eating it during a Seudas Mitzvah, it's not considered to be as gluttonous as a child that just goes and eats meat and wine for no reason. Therefore, if he eats it during a Seudas Mitzvah, if we consider this to be a Seudas Mitzvah, then he will not be put to death. But if it is not a Seudas Mitzvah, he will be put to death. Okay, that's an interesting point. Now, I'm sorry, in which book is Chulin 142 Seudas Mitzvah? If someone wants to know, Elias, this is in, we're discussing the end of the completion of Tractate Chulin, but we are specifically relating to the completion of any tractate, and not to Tractate Chulin itself. We're discussing the completion of a tractate. Okay. In any case, the question of what I mentioned before, that a Seudas Mitzvah is made on Erev Pesach so that the Bechorim do not have to fast, it wasn't always like this. The Nozbi Yehuda lived in the 1600s, and a student of his, the Tshuva Me'avra, Lezer Fleckless, writes that when he was young, he's a Bechor, and he wanted to make a Seudas Siyum Masechta in order that he should not have to fast and have Pesach. He asked his Rebbe, the Nozbi Yehuda, whether this was permitted, and his Rebbe said, no, it is not permitted at all. He didn't explain why, but not only that, he sent out messengers to announce throughout the streets that a person who makes a Siyum Masechta in order not to fast an Erev Pesach is transgressing the law, is doing something that is not supposed to be done, and one should definitely not use a Siyum Masechta as an excuse to make a Seudas Mitzvah for Erev Pesach and not to fast. Now the reason for this, Yitzhuv Me'av explains, is based on another point which it is important to discuss with regard to Siyum Masechta. This other point is whether the Seuda is supposed to be made immediately upon the completion of the Masechta, or whether it can be held up and saved for an opportune time. This question comes up also during the 9 days, when those who want to eat meat during the 9 days make a Siyum Masechta and celebrate by eating meat. Not everyone finishes a Masechta during the 9 days at the beginning of Chodesh Av, and therefore many people save their Siyum, which they finish before the 9 days, and wait until the 9 days to make the Siyum and then to celebrate. Is this a proper way of acting, to save a Siyum for Erev Pesach or for the 9 days? Well, the Shulam Me'avra writes, as I said, in the name of the Nozbi Yehuda, that it is definitely prohibited, it should not be done. And he cites, to support this, a Tshuvas Maram Mintz. Maram Mintz is an early Akron, who writes that it was customary for those in the yeshiva who finished the Masechta to save a few lines at the end of the Masechta and to read them together at a later time, which would be more opportune for the Siyum, during which the Balei Batim, meaning the members of the community, will be able to participate, and there will be a larger and more festive meal. When the Talmud Chacham finishes learning, if it's a regular weekday, perhaps they wait to a Sunday or to a time when the Balei Batim would be free, when the neighbors or the people that lived around the yeshiva, the working people, would be free, so that they could all celebrate together with him, and then he'd read a few lines. The idea of saving a few lines and waiting until later comes from a Gemara in Lo'ei Katan discussing the Binyan Beis HaMikdash, in which it states that the celebration for the completion of the Beis HaMikdash could be made if one saves the last little bit of the building for a later time and completes that at a later time. Then at the time when one completes that last little bit, they can make a celebration for finishing, completing the building of the Beis HaMikdash. Same thing should be with the Siyam. One can save the completion, the last few lines, in order to learn it together with the neighbors at a later time when more people could participate. From there we see that it is possible to push off the celebration of the Siyam Masechta for a more opportune time. Therefore, says the Tshuva Me'avo, one should not make a Siyam Masechta on Erev Pesach. It's not an opportune time. It's not a good time to make a Siyam Masechta. It's a day of fasting. Why should you make it now if you could save a few lines to later? Until later, make the Siyam at a later time. In fact, what he's saying is, even if you finish the Masechta on Erev Pesach, why make the Siyam today? In fact, it's better to save a few lines from Erev Pesach for a later time and to make a celebration at a later time. Not to save a few lines until Erev Pesach and make a celebration Erev Pesach, which is not a good time because it's a day of fasting. Same might possibly be applied for the 9 days. Why should one wait till the 9 days when one's not supposed to eat meat? Do the opposite. Even if you finish the Masechta during the 9 days, wait till a better time to make a celebration. This was the practice apparently in the time of the Nodes of Yehuda. However, today it is quite accepted among all the different Eidot to make a Siyam Masechta on Erev Pesach for a Bechor, in order that it should not fast. Even if the Masechta is finished before Erev Pesach, one saves a few lines to Erev Pesach and make the Yehuda specifically then. The reason for this is apparently because the fasting of Erev Pesach is not a true halacha that one is obligated to do. It's not something that's written openly in the Gemara anywhere. There are allusions to it in the Talmud Yerushalmi, and it is a minhag Yisrael, it is a custom. However, it is not something that one is obligated to do, like putting on tefillin. Is something that is only a minig, in the sense that if there is a reason to override, if there is a reason to, if one makes a Siyam, if even though it's possible to push off the Siyam Masechta for another time, Erev Pesach is not considered an inopportune time. Now, the very fact that it's a minig obviously doesn't make it any less of an obligation. Minig Yisrael Taira, once it's a minig, it becomes an obligation. If it is a custom, a minig, to fast on Erev Pesach, then one is obligated to fast on Erev Pesach if he is a Bechor. What does make a difference, though, is that apparently, during the later generations at least, we're seeing that it's too difficult for a person to fast on Erev Pesach. It's enough that he's not allowed to eat any bread or matzah from after Chatzos, or even all day long. One's not permitted to eat matzah or bread, and in order that he should have a teavon, he should have a appetite for the matzah that he's going to eat during the Seder. There's too much work in running around in Erev Pesach. If a person doesn't eat, then perhaps he won't, he'll be busy by the beginning of the Seuda of the Seder Pesach. He's going to start after a day of fasting with drinking cups of wine. And therefore, at least in later generations, it became clear that it's best not to fast and to avoid the fast. Because of that, Erev Pesach became, instead of an inopportune time for a Siyam, it became an opportune time, a good time to make a Siyam, in order that the Bukharim shouldn't have to fast. Since it's only a minig to fast, and there's a reason to change the minig now, therefore, it became customary to make a Siyam specifically on Erev Pesach and to wait for Erev Pesach. As far as the 9 days are concerned, there are those who do have a custom to make a Siyam during the 9 days, specifically, for example, the Chassidei Chabad have a minig to make a Siyam. They apparently consider it an opportune time to celebrate in order to show that we're confident that Hashem will send the Geula Shleima, will send Mashiach soon, and therefore they found it important to celebrate rather than to increase the mourning. If so, they consider it an opportune time to make a Siyam, and therefore it's permitted to save the Siyam until that time. Others have a minig not to make a Siyam then. Each person should follow his particular custom, his minhag. In any case, there is such a thing as pushing off a Siyam by saving the last few lines until a more opportune time when many people will be able to participate. The Mishnah Brura interestingly writes that on Erev Shabbos one should normally not make a seuda unless it's a seuda mitzvah, fitting a ben or a mila. The Bir Halacha and Siman Reish Mem Tes tells us that a seuda sfi masechta is also considered to be a seuda mitzvah. That's interesting in light of what we've seen, that one may push off a sfi masechta by waiting for a more opportune time and saving the last few lines of Gemara. Apparently, the Mishnah Brura did not consider Erev Shabbos to be an inopportune time, although it's true that one should not make a large meal on Erev Shabbos in order to honor the Shabbos. Nevertheless, if one is making a Seuda of Siyum Masechta, then apparently that's not going to take away from the honor of the Shabbos. It's not considered an inopportune time, it's not considered inappropriate to make a Seuda on that day if one finishes on that day. However, obviously, if one finishes the Masechta before Erev Shabbos and he pushes off the Siyum until Erev Shabbos, that will not be appropriate unless the Erev Shabbos is the only time when everyone can participate in his meal. So again, it all depends on whether what's the more opportune time to make the Siyum. Now, another interesting point about the Siyum is how long the celebration lasts. The Tshuva Chavos Yor writes that where he lived, he lived in the 1700s, where he lived, the celebration of the Siyum lasted 3 days. It lasted the day after the Siyum also, and perhaps 2 days afterwards as well. And he writes that all those Seudot that were celebrated during the 3 days might be considered a Seudas Siyum. Okay. What is considered a Siyum? What is considered a completion? What warrants a Seudas Mitzvah for completing? Just finishing a Masechta or other completions as well? For instance, finishing a Seder of Mishnayos. When one finishes Mishnayos, can one make a Siyum for finishing Mishnayos? In fact, when one finishes any Mitzvah, can one make a Siyum celebration for finishing any Mitzvah? The Poskim writes that, yes, one may make a Siyum celebration for finishing upon the completion of any Mitzvah. And this is actually clear in the Midrashim. The Midrash writes that when the Bnei Yisrael completed the building of the Mishkan in the Midbar, it was completed, completed in the Chodesh Nisan. And it says that special, unique korbanos were brought on that day. And the concluding korban was El HaShlomim, El HaMilum, El HaShlomim, the ram that was brought as a korban shlomim. So the Midrash, this was brought to Simcha. The korban shlomim was brought at a celebration. The shlomim is a korban that one brings to celebrate. The owner who brings the korban eats the korban, partakes from the korban. He doesn't burn it, doesn't just give it to the kohen, but he partakes from it and gives it to all his friends. And the El HaMilum was brought in celebration, says the Medrash, and it was celebrating the completion of the building of the Mishkan. And the Medrash Psikta, the Trusty, the Lekatov, continues by saying, Mikan Samku Chachamim Shikol HaMashim Masechta Tzarek Lassus Yom Tov L'Chaveiro Kol Shosh Yashim Limuda. This is the thought that when one finishes Masechta, he makes a celebration for his friends. Like we said, it's not just it's personal celebration, but it's a celebration in which others can and should participate as well. We see that what was completed there was not the completion of a mitzvah, but the completion of a mitzvah. Similarly, when the Beit HaMikdash was built, a celebration was made, a large celebration was made for 7 days. The Gemara tells us another cut. They even ate on Yom Kippur that year, while celebrating the completion of building the Mikdash, the Chanukah Sabayis. So the completion of the Mikdash was between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, and they celebrated for 7 days straight, including Yom Kippur. They ate that Yom Kippur, and Chazal tells us that the Navi told B'nai Yisrael that they were correct in doing so, the Baskel, that B'nai Yisrael were correct in eating and in celebrating on that Yom Kippur because of the completion of the mitzvah of building the Beis HaMikdash. Another source is the Gemara in Bava Batra and other places, which tells us that Tu B'Av was a day of celebration. The 15th day of Av was a day of celebration. What was celebrated on Tu B'Av? Because I'll tell us, one of the celebrations, one of the points that was celebrated was Yom Tavar Magol, the day in which the sickle was shattered, was broken. What does that mean? What it means is, it was a day when those who prepared the wood that was used on the altar in order to burn the karbanos would stop cutting wood. Tavar Magol is a figurative term meaning that they would no longer use their shears or their axes to cut wood. It is the day after which the sun is not as hot as it used to be. After Tu B'Av, the summer starts to cool down, and then it's possible that worms will start crawling into the trees. When it's very hot, then we know that there aren't worms crawling through the wood. The worms don't stay in the wood because it's exposed to the heat. In any case, the wood was no longer chopped after Tu B'Av. And because of that, it was a day of celebration. That sounds strange. They stopped cutting wood for the Mizbeach. They stopped cutting wood to use on the altar. Because of that, they're celebrating. What are you celebrating? That you're no longer cutting wood? We have three times. The answer is, well, actually there is a parish of Inigration, that tells us that yes, that's exactly what they're celebrating, that they have more three times. Because now that they have three times, they were able to learn Torah more. During the time that they had to cut wood for the Mizbeach, they were not free to study Torah. Now they have more free time to study Torah, and that's what they're celebrating. The Rashbam does not offer that explanation. He offers a different explanation. Rashbam tells us that the celebration was a celebration of the completion of the mitzvah. Now that there was Zoka to finish cutting all the wood that would be needed that year for the Mizbeach, they were ready to celebrate the completion of the mitzvah. So the Rashbam, because they completed a great mitzvah, they made a yontav out of it. So again, we see that the completion of the mitzvah deserves as a celebration. It's interesting that all these sources relate to the mikdash and the completion of the mishkan, the beis hamikdash, or cutting wood for the beis hamikdash for the karbanos. And the only other source is the completion of a mesechta. Perhaps it's is related to the fact that learning Torah could be comparable to bringing karbanos, to serving Hashem in the Beis HaMikdash. whether we can celebrate every other mitzvah in such a manner is not clear. But in any case, they finished a great mitzvah, they made a celebration, so too when one finishes a mesechta, which is a great mitzvah, one makes a celebration. As far as whether one makes a celebration for finishing Mishnayos, the Poskim bring down that yes, one can make a celebration for finishing Mishnayos as well. The Pnei Yeshua and Brachos talks about a Gemara in which it says that when Yechonon finished Maseches Iyov, he would make a certain announcement. He would say, right, that everyone's going to eventually die. Iyov is a very sad sefer. Everyone's going to eventually die, but we might as well use the time that we do have in this world for learning Torah, for performing mitzvahs, for learning Torah specifically. And it says that he said this upon the completion of Iyov. The Pnei Yeshua says he said this during the Siyum celebration of the completion of Iyov. From this we see that even when one finishes a Sefer of Mikra, one can also celebrate. Obviously, Rav Yochanan, when he finished it, didn't just learn the words of Iyov, he learned it and he explained it. Meaning when one finishes the Medrash of Sefer Iyov, then he can make a celebration just as when one finishes a Masechta of Gemara, which is discussing a specific topic. When one finishes the Talmud that was written to discuss a specific topic, it's considered a completion of a single matter. When it's completed something, and one can celebrate one in the same way. One completes the drasha, the explanation of the Sefer, such a Sefer Eiv, and now he understands that the entire Sefer, it's a Dover Shalom, it's a complete item, a complete matter, then one can make a celebration. The same way, when one completes Mishnayos, one can celebrate. However, it's customary to make a Seuda for completing an entire Seder of Mishnayos. A Seder of Mishnayos, meaning there are six sections to the Mishnayos, right? There are six different divisions of the Mishnayos. The Mishnayos are divided into the 60 odd Mesechtos are divided into six divisions. When one finishes an entire division, approximately 10 Mesechtos, then one should make a Siyum for Mishnayos. When one finishes a single Mesechta, which is a number of chapters, then one does not normally make a Siyum. Maybe one can make a small celebration. What's the reason for that? Perhaps the Mishnayos themselves do not reveal the full picture. When one finishes an entire Seder, he could say, well, I have enough of a picture that I've accomplished enough that even if I've accomplished little in quality as far as each particular Mishnah, because I'm only learning the Mishnah and not all the Talmud, all the laws that are relating to every single Mishnah, nevertheless, I've made up for it with quantity, that quantitatively I have a large enough celebration to be equivalent to the finishing of Masechta of Gemara, of Talmud. Therefore, when one finishes a Masechta of Mishnayos, but one learns it in depth, it certainly warrants the celebration of a Siyum. In fact, I participated in the Mishnayos shared by one of the Gedolei Yerushalayim, and Moshe Shapira Shlita, and every time he finishes a Masechta, which takes him somewhere between 2 years to 4 years, he makes a large celebration, bring cake, bring drink, and make a same type of celebration that one normally makes at the completion of a Masechta. And what comes out of this is that really everything, when it comes to making a Siyum, the celebration is really very subjective. It depends on how much effort you put into it, how much time and effort you put into making a Siyum. Because even though I'm not going to learn the Medrash the same way Rav Yechman will, and I'm not going to learn the Gemara the same way as Abaye and Rava will, if I put in an effort that makes me feel that I've really accomplished something by finishing this Masechta, then I certainly deserve to make a Siyum. There's a famous story, a true story, about Talmud of Rav Moshe Feinstein, whose father made a Siyum for learning one sugya. People say over the story that he learned one daf, which is not true. One daf is not a davar shalom, it's not a complete object. One sugya, one subject that is discussed in the Gemara, the sugya of Yerushalom Midas, takes 2 or 3 pages. That's a davar shalom, that's a complete matter. It's something that is worthy of celebrating its completion. The story goes that the student of Rav Moshe was estranged from his parents because his parents were not religious. An Israeli fellow who spent all his life teaching physical fitness and wasn't used to intellectual matters altogether. And the son went off to yeshiva and ended up in Rav Moshe Feinstein's yeshiva. Rav Moshe Feinstein is a Gadol Hadar. It was a nifter not long ago. 20 years ago. And the student of Rav Moshe's raised a family and learned Torah, and his children were learning Torah, but his father didn't want to have anything to do with him. His father was in Israel, the student was in America, until the father retired, and he longed to see his grandchildren. He had a couple of grandchildren growing up, and he really couldn't resist. He came to America finally to visit. And while he was there, the son made a very big effort to introduce his father to Torah and to show him that people that study Torah are not from the moon, and that they can be normal people, and the intellectual pursuit of Torah is something that cannot be compared to any other pursuit. The enjoyment and the liveliness of the study of Torah is something that takes concentration and that is terribly rewarding. and he managed to convince his father, and his father felt bad that all these years he hadn't studied Torah, and he decided to, he agreed to his son to study Torah. His son said, we'll teach you what they teach in Cheder, what they teach in the children who start, the teachers in the children's school, for those who start to learn Talmud for the first time. We'll learn the sugya of Yerushalayim Midas in the beginning of Eilu Metzias. It's just two or three pages. And the son learned with him, but it just didn't go. The father wasn't used to intellectual pursuits, and it was very, very hard for him. He would study, he would learn, and then he'd forget, and he'd have to go back, and he'd review it, and just to retain the material and to understand the idea of the give and take of the Gemara questions and answers, and which questions relating to which answer, it was very difficult for him. But he put a lot of effort into it, hours and hours, days and days, weeks and weeks, and even months. And finally, he did it. He actually completed the sugya, and he was very, very proud. And when Rav Moshe Feinstein was the Rebbe of this man's son, as we said, was also the Gadol Hadar. When the son said to his father, I want to introduce you to my Rosh Yeshiva. this occurred before the father started learning. When the father felt bad that he hadn't learned all his life, then he went to, the son introduced the father to his Rosh Yeshiva, to Rav Moshe. And the father told Rav Moshe, look, I've never studied in my life. I feel bad now, but I can't study the entire Talmud now. What should I do? And Rav Moshe said, pick one sugya, do what the children do when they start to learn, and learn that sugya. And when you're finished, make a celebration, but a large and festive celebration. I want to participate in your celebration. Make a large siyum. And that's what happened when he completed. The son told Rav Moshe, my father did it. He finished the sugya, and he's making a celebration. He wants to have the honor of having the Rosh Yeshiva participate. And Rav Moshe himself came, and he spoke about the joy of making a siyum. And a few days later, just less than a week later, a few days later, the father passed away. But he had his sugya. Rav Moshe spoke in the siyum and said that everyone has to have their part in Torah. Yeah, everyone has to have their part that they could relate to, that could be their section of the Talmud, their section of the Torah. And this man, by studying this stuff, he has made this his section. He has done his mission in life. And shortly afterwards, the fellow actually passed away. And it's a very moving story, but it just demonstrates that the simcha v'siyum is something that is very subjective. It depends on the amount of effort that the person put in and the amount of joy that he has at his personal accomplishments. And I want to wish all of those that participated here that they should also merit to make their own siyum on what it may be, whether it may be a sugya or a mishnah or a seder or a gemara, a mesechta, or maybe even the entire Talmud. And then Hashem, next year, less than a year from now, we should all be able to celebrate together the completion of the Daf Yomi cycle of the entire Talmud. Kol Tov and Leitraot.